Has it started yet? Should I introduce myself, do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have this down here, too.
Oh, okay. All right, then I'm sorry. I'll just wanna... My earliest memories of being a Vreeland were told to me by my great uncle, Frank Vreeland, who was born in 1876 at 27659 Arsenal Road, Flat Rock. At the time of the story that were told to me, they lived on Vreeland Road at the farm at the corner of Vreeland and Telegraph, where the Elks Temple stands now. In the middle of the 18th century, most of that farm was sold to the railroad. I was born in 1921 on the corner of Telegraph and West Huron River Drive. The house faced Telegraph and was completely surrounded by huge maple trees that met over the road. There was an alley that divided the block, and there sat old Irby Greaves' little log cabin, then a vacant lot, and then my great-great-grandfather's home and his saloon. When these were torn down in 1925, Droulard's drugstore and a group of other shops, Kroger's, Sonnenberg's clothing store, and the barber shop, were built there. Now that half a block has the Heritage Bank and the parking lot. And by the way, those buildings burned in the 1950s, the ones I told you about, the Droulard's drugstore.
Mm-hmm. 1960s, rather.
And then this, the Heritage was built. And the property I was born on was owned by my great aunt, Mamie Vreeland Walters. And that little building, the buildings that were built after her house was moved, was a little, like a mini mall would be called now. It was the A&P store, the meat market, Diamond's restaurant, Kroger store, and the city service gas station. That property now houses the Martinizing Cleaners, which was built after the old buildings burned down in 1991. My Aunt Mamie's house was moved to the back of that lot in 1926 when the first buildings were built. And then it was torn down to build a new telephone building in the 1980s. Across the street from my Aunt Mamie's house on Telegraph and Huron River Drive, on the corner of East Telegraph and Ypsilanti Street, stood Chamberlain's beautiful yellow and white Victorian home, surrounded by a black iron fence and a beautiful garden in the rear. It was moved in 1938 to the corner of Seneca and Moses Street. Now, Mr. Ballmer built a little drugstore on the corner of Chamberlain's lot by the alley. And I remember being drawn by fascination across the street, across Telegraph, over from my aunt's home, where Mr. Ballmer was displaying live baby chickens dyed all colors of the rainbow for the Easter decorations. I was 5 years old at the time, and I was soundly spanked for crossing busy Telegraph, which probably had 20 cars an hour. Later, another building was added, and that was called the Eagle Cafe. And then on the alley adjacent to that, Wager's house still stands. And that house was probably built around the 1870s or late 1860s. And then the old barn was right behind that house, still stands. And then there was a vacant lot in Smith's Hotel. And that was run originally by, I think the Lisa family, and then the Smith, you know, it was named the Smith Hotel when it was enlarged. And at that time, it had an old-fashioned porch along the front and benches where the local men sat and visited. And Mr. Smith, known as Aki Smith, had a big yellow dog, and it had to be petted each time I walked by. In 1929, Mr. Smith built a block building behind the Smith's Hotel, and that was burned in that was built in 1929, and it burned early 1980s. And now let's see. Then Erie Street wasn't paved till the 1980s. Gibraltar Road was paved the year I started the first grade. I also remember when Bunny's store was built, that was a brick building, was built in the late 1920s. When I was in second grade in school, I got my first library book. The library at that time was in Keenan's Hardware, which was located next to the Congregational Church. Keenan's and Longprees were old Flat Rock residents. And the next to Keenan's Hardware on the west was Garrett Freeland's home, a beautiful brick, which was replaced a log cabin where I'm told one of the original Freelands lived and kept a pet bear. Then east of Keenan's Hardware was a large gray Victorian home that I believe was a Methodist parsonage, and then next to that was a Methodist church. The old gray house was torn down in the 1940s, and the Methodist church was torn down this last summer, 1995.
There for a while.
A long time, yes. My great uncle Frank told me some other wild stories about the old Freelands. Some are true, and perhaps some were inspired by hot buttered rum. My uncle said that Michael Freeland was captured by Indians and brought here and lived with them for a while, and then went back to New York State and returned with his brothers, three brothers. He had a cabin near where the Flat Rock stamping plant stands now. Another one was a little north on Arson Road past the old farm, and then the one I mentioned on the corner of Seneca and East Union River Drive. And I suppose there was a cabin located at the corner behind the state police post where the big White House stands now, and that was built in 1856.
Mm-hmm.
It's still standing. And an old local family bought that, and their name was, they bought that house in 1907, and their name was Burton. And I think they came from Detroit. Okay. And the old Freeland Cemetery stands right near where the state police, tower, you know, that red tower that stands up there? It's like they used to warn airplanes up there. Now that's where the old cemetery stands.
Mm, right up here on Carlton.
Yeah, right. Well, Carlton, yeah, you mm-hmm. the railroad track, and then you just take a cut right through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that tower stands. And he also said they fought in the War of 1812, going to the Trenton area where they fought in the Battle of Brownstown and McLaughlin. Freelands fought in the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. And there were two generals from this area that were Freelands who fought in the War of 1860, the Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were also decorated for bravery. Somebody sent me an article one time that was about that this one received the Medal of Honor for rescuing some of his other fellow soldiers. And after the War of 1812, a lot of travel was by water down the Huron River, and they would stop in one of the Freeland's cabins, and one in particular stopped and was bragging and telling the Freeland's about taking American scalps down the river across the lake to Fort Malden and selling them to the English. He was never seen again, but many years later, his skeleton was found when it was excavated for a new building. And another story was told of an early Freeland who was a local law officer and was taking a prisoner to Detroit by horseback, and they stopped along the way to quench their thirst. Many rums later, the prisoner changed places with the law officer and deposited the inebriated Freeland in jail and returned to Flat Rock. But as time went on, they became more civilized, I guess, and many held important jobs and posts in Flat Rock, such as judges, other local offices like justice of the peace, lawyers, and prosperous farmers, and township supervisors. And that's, you wanted to say something else, wasn't about,
Freeland Road now.
Oh yeah, Freeland Road was named after my Frank Freeland, my great aunt, my great uncle Frank Freeland.
Okay.
Yeah, old families in Flat Rock were the Freelands, the Van Rypers, the Stofflets, the Burdens, the Cases, the Collins, the Keenans, the Kerrs, the Longfrees, the Nears, and Mungers, Morries, P. Pinks and Chapins, some I've forgotten if you remembered, the Carters, the Bunnies, the Ernsts, the Crooks, the Parsons, Holt, and Hazleys. And speaking of the Holts, Parsons, Holt, that they're known, they had a beautiful big Victorian mansion right there where the video place, what's that video, that new video place called there?
Oh, that Moonlight over
there? That Moonlight, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a beautiful brick home stood there. Yeah. It was fabulous. And that was an old, and they're all died out. You know, that was just like, you know, there's so many, these old families of fire just completely died out.
Yeah.
And, but that, I just want to remember to tell it because it was so beautiful. Then there was another old home, right where the parking lot is for behind the Professional Blues, there where the Flatrock Library is now, and the dentist's office and the bank. Well, it was called the Morley House. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful big brick, and it also had the big iron fence around it. And that house burned in around about 1952 or 53. It burned. Mm-hmm. And that's all the little house, and that's about all I had. That was all I had, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. About the roads, or is that on there?
Oh yeah, well just, do you remember like, what's your, you know, your most memories about school and...
Oh, okay. Well, let's see, I started kindergarten. It would be in 1926, yeah, that would be 5 years old, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went all through, I started in the old building, which is now the administration building, and I went through all the, went through sixth grade there, and then started seventh grade in the new building at that time, and then graduated in 1939 from Flatrock High School.
Hmm.
And
what grade was that you had to go through to graduate?
Oh, 12. Yeah, 12. So I started seventh grade, went over to the new building, and then mm-hmm. grades kindergarten through six were in the old building. And mm-hmm. you know, we've seen that old building right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I graduated from the what we call the new school in 1939.
Hmm.
And that's as far as my education went. And let's see what else about school. I played basketball.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't very good. And I played one game. I was extremely shy when I went to school. And that's, well, we didn't, really didn't have much of a sports program, you know, from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But in front of the school, it was, there was a whole row of gigantic elm trees, and they went in a semicircle, would start and go right around and came around and then came back, you know, to Erie Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to run races around there. Yeah, around that. That was the big fun during recess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used to play, when we'd go out for recess time, we would go out and play, you know, that fox and the goose, you know, and run and chase in circles around out in the mm-hmm. snow. And then those swing sets out and back. And my very first day of school, well, I was playing on the swings, and I got hit right in the face, almost put my eye out.
Ooh.
And then I went to old Dr. Hazley, and he was situated in the back of the old hardware that stood on the corner of Western River Drive and Telegraph Road, and that's where the Hunter Flower Shop is now. That was an enormous old hardware, and he had an office, Dr. Hazley had an office right behind there, and he just took a piece of adhesive tape and put this scar right here.
Oh,
that
yeah.
scar was here. That's one of cool. That shows how your skin grows. It does. It grows down. So, and anyhow, Dr. Proud had just come to Flatrock at that time, and he, I don't know, oh, my mother was so concerned with that, she just didn't think that was right, because that was going to ruin my looks, just putting that. So he came to our house, and I remember he took that tape off, and I was his first patient, and he stitched that cut, and then he did, four or five stitches in it, you know, and he said, if that had gone on, he said, she would have had a terrible scar, but this way it wasn't near as bad. Mm-hmm. So, and that was like memories of Dr. Proud was, and he was a veteran of World War One, and he was a wonderful doctor. And let's see what else. That's about anything in there that doesn't pertain. You can probably keep that all out. You feel it isn't important, but
it's all important.
Yeah.
What about like moving pictures, you know, movie?
Oh, well, I'll tell you about moving pictures. There used to be the old Odd Fellows Hall stood on the corner of the Garden Boulevard and East River Drive, and they used to show movies there. That was in the, I'd say 1932 and 33. But before that even, they used to have free movies down in the park in the summertime, and they would show them down there. Mm-hmm. And they were all the old westerns and the old Perils of Pauline and all those old crazy movies. But, and then, also in my mind, there comes the old Maccabees Hall. It stood right at the foot of, they call it Gibraltar Road now, but it was Erie Street at that time. Oh. And that was the only building on the south side of the road. And it was a big old white type of building like they built, you know, in the 1830s and 1840s. Mm-hmm. And they had movies there at one time, too. And then they used to hold, I remember my mother telling me, now my mother was from Detroit, but when she married my dad, I don't know how they met in Detroit, but I don't know how about all that. But then she moved to Flat Rock in 1917. That was in their marriage. She moved to Flat Rock. And she said they used to have dances there, and they used to have all kinds of social events. It was really nice. Hmm. And then it kind of disintegrated. People came, they had the dances up on in the upstairs floor, and I guess it was, along with being a fire hazard, it was also, the floor was getting kind of flimsy, you know, at that time. That would be almost 100 years after the building was built. No, not quite, about 90 years. But then, and I remember in 33, they used to hold fights there, professional boxers, you know, and they used to fight there. And I remember, I wanted to go and see a fight so bad. And so, you know, I said, no, you cannot go over there, you know. Well, I remember I sneaked in there and I watched that fight, and I'll never forget, I became so sick hearing that leather, you know, hitting skin, and the one I had a bloody eye, I ran out of there, and I ran, of course, all the way home, back right over here to the, you know, the corner of Unilever Drive and Telegraph Road, which was just a block away. But that was some of the old buildings that just, you know, that disappeared too.
Mm-hmm.
And other old buildings, like, you know, there used to be the Munger store, that they had the Historical Society, had the dedication to that here about 3 weeks ago, I think. And they were talking about that, and Munger's was moved in 1855 from across the street in Telegraph over to the corner of Telegraph and the continuation of Eastern River Drive, where it goes on around to Arsenal Road.
Mm-hmm.
But that was moved there in 1855, and it was, I guess, it operated all from 1875 and on, you know, until in 1850 something they closed it.
Wow.
But and then next to that was the Munger House, and Mrs. Hamer was Mr. Munger's sister, and she lived there. She was an old maiden lady. And then next to that was the people by the name of Whipple lived in that house. And there was a vacant lot. And then there was an old, a white house that had this storefront built on the front of it. And that was, my earliest memories of that was with Lee's barbershop. That was my stepdad. He worked. But what it was before that, I don't know. And I've not been, I've asked and asked. And I never, nobody knows that's alive now. But then people by the name of Spore lived back there for years. But they don't know who lived there. They, nobody could tell who lived there before Spore's. But then right next door to Spore's was this little building, and it was Spore's Meat Market. Mm-hmm. And that would be in the late 20s. And then he left town. And the other Spore's had meat markets in various other places in town. Mm-hmm. But and then it was a vacant lot. Mm-hmm. And back of that vacant lot was this old McAbee's Hall that I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did I get off my story there? that started out with movies.
That's okay. Let's see. How were holidays like back then? Were they?
Well, in Bunny's old store, where you know where the library is now, Santa Claus used to come there always on all of it. To a couple weekends before the holidays, and he'd come into town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always quite an event. And then he'd throw candy and give stuff like that. And then at the school, they always had a Christmas program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always very interesting. All the different classes would have, the kids would recite or do some sort of a thing. And then, mm-hmm. then there'd always be a sing-along that was held by Mr. Jess Van Riper, who was an Old Town resident, and he had a big boisterous voice, and he'd get everybody to singing, you know, and that was quite a celebration. And then a different, the various churches around, they all had their religious programs. I mean, the Methodist and the Congregational Church were the two churches in town at that time. And and there was another old church that stood right across the street from the high school. And nobody remembers that old church, hardly, but me, whenever I talk about it, they don't remember it. It was a beautiful little brick church, kind of a, you know, colonial style. And I don't know, I just don't know what kind of a church that was, but I always had a sneaky suspicion. It's where the American Legion is now. They built a building in there, but and I can remember seeing that church there, and I don't see.
What were mainly like the roles of women back then? Did they?
Well, very few women. Well, that I remember now, Edna Parsons. Was the she was a teller, or you know, she in this old Bunny store, they had the overhead cables running, you know, and she had a little office up in front, and she was the cashier by them, and they would, when anybody would, you know, put the money in this little thing, and it would zoom, and it'd come to her, see.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked, I'm telling you, with different women, and there were the telephone operator in Flat Rock was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Mrs. Stevens. And you're speaking of, say, in the 1920s, probably. That would be true then. And let me see. Other women who would be. Most women were just housewives at that time, and farmers' wives.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of the clerks, you know, were women clerks in the grocery store, and school teachers, of course, were all unmarried women.
Oh.
And then the minute they were married, they no longer could teach school.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's right. And the school teachers were not allowed to drink or smoke.
Yeah.
If they were, they were dismissed. And And Flat Rock had a very interesting history. Flat Rock, if this is kind of off the record, they talk about Peyton Place. Flat Rock had, was its own little Peyton Place many years. And there were, you know, all their local scandals. And I remember when I was a very little girl, my aunt, you know, my great aunt Mamie sitting on her big wide front porch. Mm-hmm. And this old Irby Greaves would come around, and this was, there weren't very many telephones in those days, you know. Mm-hmm. And he would come around, and my Aunt Mamie would be walking in her chair, and she'd say, well, Irby, what's the news today? And Irby would give her all the latest gossip. Irby got around town. He was an old bachelor. He lived by himself, and he did odd jobs. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the local colors. And there were a lot of those old, you know, men around that were did odd jobs. And
said he was a lot of the local colors.
Yeah, that was the local colors they were.
Okay.
And then there were a couple. Another. They were. Well, there would be. You know, Smith's Hotel had quite a few rooms, and there would be men come there and stay, and. They were usually drank a lot, and it would seem, and the word would get around that they were from wealthy families, you know, and that was, the money came for them all the time, and they were just more or less like the black sheep in the family. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, people talking about that when I was a little kid. Of course, when I was a little kid, I was all over town, you know, I mean, just because I lived right in the heart of town, in that area there, and I used to, you know, hear all this stuff, and I used to hear a lot of things I wasn't supposed to hear. And a lot of times if I could get around the side of the porch and I'd listen to some of Irby's gossip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting growing up in Flat Rock.
Hmm.
Now what is there?
Let's see, what about the Depression? You remember much of that?
I remember the Depression very much. You know, the only thing, we didn't know we were so poor because everybody else was poor, you know, and nobody had anything. And
so there was probably very few rich people then.
Yes, the rich people were, August Bunny was the, was he the supervisor at that time, or I think he was, because I know when you were on welfare, which we were, you would have to go down there and he would give the money. And it would be, I think my mother got $5 a week. And that was to pay everything. And there were five children in the family and my mother.
Hmm.
My father deserted us during the Depression. And there were a lot of people in town who weren't working. Some people worked at Ford's. Ford's kept operating during and the bank closed, I remember. And see, I was, when it first started, I was about 9 years old when the Depression first started. And we were, like I said, we were awfully poor, and so was everybody else. And Aaron's family, my husband's family, had just come to Flat Rock. In 1929, too, so his dad came with the promise of getting a job at the railroad. Well, then the railroad, after he got here, then the railroad closed down. And then for a brief time, he worked for the Flat Rock Police Department, and that kind of fizzled out because, you know, they were just having payless paydays there.
Yeah.
And then he went on, he was so fortunate. He got a job at Saucony Vacuum as a blacksmith,
mm-hmm.
and that was in 1935, I believe. Things were starting to look up then.
Mm-hmm.
And what else about the Depression?
So a lot of businesses and things closed
down. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody, and when you go to the store, most of the time, you wouldn't have money to pay for anything, so a lot of the stuff was put on books, on the book,
and
you paid for it, on the tab, you paid for it when you could. And there was a local merchant in town who was a very kind man, and his name is Middlestad, and he was just too good-hearted, that man. He finally went out of business because he gave people so much credit. And of course, he'd fix all the farmers' plows and stuff like that and do all that sort of thing. And they always paid him in you know, food or poultry and stuff like that, mm-hmm. which was very handy. And then sometimes he wouldn't take anything for his work. And that's mm-hmm. when things were really tough for them, because they depended on that, you know. Mm-hmm. But some farmers, I mean, they wouldn't have anything at the time. Like in the early spring, you know, mm-hmm. when they were out and start work their fields,
yeah.
They had to get their plows sharpened, and a lot of them at that time they were, you know, they were using tractors, or even their horse drawn had to have the plows sharpened. Mm-hmm. So it was rough.
Hmm.
But then things started looking up. You know, things really started looking up when we were married in 1940. It was still, things weren't too good, but the war was imminent, and you know, once the war started, then things really got popping. But
mm-hmm.
I worked for $6 a week. That was when I got out of school, and things were a little better then. But yeah, I worked for $6 a week, and Aaron for $20 a week at the EMP stores.
Oh.
That was full time. That was from 8 o'clock in the morning till sometimes 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
You know, because you worked, and there was no time and a half. There was no, you weren't any set hours. You worked mm-hmm. as long as the manager told you to work. And if you didn't like it, you there was always somebody to take your place. Yeah. And so that's I worked. First of all, the first job I ever had was at a little dry cleaner shop down in the old building section that died. That burned down here south of town, or just it was right across from the old police station. There was a string of wooden buildings. Only it was old. I think that probably those buildings were built maybe in the 1820s or 30s. They were old.
Hmm.
And at the very end was this little cleaner shop. He had that cleaner shop there, and he paid me $5 a week. And he gypped me out of my last week's wages. I went to work one night and he'd gone. He just.
Oh, man.
But then Ancona's had a. He had it. He had a shoe repair shop in there. And then he had fishing bait, and he had a little ice cream store in there. And there was also a man named Mr. Niedermeyer. He had a jewelry shop in there when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Let's see. So it was like churches, was that a big thing then too?
There were just the two churches, mm-hmm. the Methodist Church and the Congregational Church. That I remember, you know, that I don't remember any. Those were the only two churches I remember. Now we had to go to Rockwood Church, Redwood St. Mary's Church, our Catholic mm. church in Rockwood, and that was founded many, many, many years ago. That was an old, you know, Rockwood's mostly French,
mm-hmm.
and I imagine probably was that area was settled probably about the same time that Monroe was settled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They opened by, and I imagine by mostly by trappers, because it's so near
yeah.
to the water too.
Mm-hmm.
And but then Fly Rock became, well, all of a sudden, you know, years later, they started getting quite a few churches. Now this old Lutheran church out on Arsenal Road has been here for many years, and that was mostly from the farmers in this area. There were a lot of German farmers in this area, and they all went to that church.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know, as far as cemeteries are concerned, Bunny Cemetery on the corner of Inkster and Mirror Drive is a very old cemetery. In fact, a lot of Flat Rock people are buried there. And then one of my ancestors, Nancy Vreeland, donated this land right over that old cemetery, right, just about a half mile out of town. You've seen it in there. It's right exactly right behind here is where it is. So naturally the land probably went right on through.
Mm-hmm.
But she donated that land, I remember. I don't know which ancestor it was. I mean, other than her name was Nancy Ruin. Mm-hmm. And that was in cemeteries in the area.
You said there wasn't many minority groups here then.
No, there was just the, that I remember was the Negro family lived up the road, was Robinsons. Mm-hmm. And they had been here a long, long time. Like mm-hmm. I said, from the 1840s or 1830s, around right. that time, you know. And when I was a child, I remember there were two Belgian families. And I can't think of that other Belgian family. They lived on Van Riper, and she worked at Drew Larms. But I'm speaking of, you know, knowing of and then there was another family lived out on Gibraltar, and there was Salenbein, and I think they also were Belgian. Yeah. And I'm just speaking of, and not speaking of minorities in the sense of, you know, black or Mexican, cause, but I mean, you know, I mean, like you'd say, like, Italian or mm-hmm. but predominantly the whole area was German and Dutch in this area. Mm. And as I say, Droulards were French, and that's the only, and Bouviers were French. Mm-hmm. Now those people have lived here a long time. They were living here when I was a small girl, and the Longfrees were French. And there was then there was quite an influx, mostly I think of English, or just like American, whatever you'd say, you know. Mm-hmm. And but as they say, it's, well, as you can see from that list of names that I had given you, they a lot of them were mostly the Germans and Dutch. Mm-hmm. And the first Italian family that I remember coming here was White's. That was Adolf White and his family. They came here, I know, in 1938, or I would say about 38, because 37, because Aaron says he doesn't remember Adolf being in school. When he was in school, he graduated in 38, and I graduated in 39, so in somewhere in that area, that was when and I don't remember any other Italian families here in Flat Rock. Hmm. And they were about the first one, and then the time as I was small, I mean, then I remember when I was young, Diamond's Restaurant. Now they were of Greek origin, and they were successful in the restaurant business here. And then there was the Pappas family. They had the Eagle Cafe, and they were Greek. And what the heck is his name? They had the old Spore Market. I was talking to you about that. They had made a, they had a restaurant there. But those were the Greek families who lived in Flat Rock.
Hmm. Well, we've got about...
Don't tell me.
About 40 minutes on it.
I got 40 minutes? Oh, good.
Yeah, so we can stop if you want.
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.